Welcome to the Scholarship Chat Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Hill. Here we talk about the scholarship tips, tools, and strategies that you need to fund your dream career. Let's get started.
Okay. So everyone, I want to welcome you to this exciting, exciting interview with my special guest. That's Chad Dorman here. He's what I call the college prep guru for student athletes, but I'm going to let him talk more about that. And we're going to get into really what parents of student athletes need to know in terms of college prep and how Chad and myself are going to be assisting you with all of that. So we're going to jump into some questions here. So first of all, Chad, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Ashley.
Yeah, it's great, great. So first, if you could please introduce yourself and tell us about you.
No problem. Chad Dorman. I'm the founder of Leonard Andrew Consulting, which is a Connecticut-based consulting business, both for admissions prep, college prep, as well as athlete recruiting, guidance, marketing, networking, that whole deal. Based in Connecticut, working with students not only across the U.S., but all over the world as well.
Yes, and I love that last part. And for those of you that are listening here, as Chad just mentioned, he works with students not only and families, not only in the U.S., but outside as well. So this is also ideal for international students and their families too. So Chad, I want to jump into what are the top three mistakes that student athletes are making when it comes to preparing for college and how to solve those?
All right. Well, probably the first biggest mistake that a lot of students make, and a lot of them may not even realize that they're doing it, is simply not being aggressive enough. They may come into their junior year of, let's just say, for a football player, where the date here is January 25th, so we're a week away from when a lot of students will start formally signing on with their teams. And so, you know, for a lot of the juniors that come in looking forward to this time, what they'll do is they'll kind of sit back. They'll sit back, they'll expect, for lack of better terms, that the coaches, the teams, the recruiting coordinators are going to come to them, and really what they won't do is they won't be aggressive, and they won't market themselves. And yes, that's a big key for student-athletes, but, you know, just like when you're a sophomore or you're a junior, even in the college prep process by itself, even if you're not a student looking to play athletics in college, you know, you're going to go through the regular steps to, you know, find a place that suits you best, fits you best. And with a lot of student-athletes, for whatever reason, you know, they seem to think that the folks are going to come to them and find them. So one of the biggest things that they can do is reach out. Again, can't assume that a coach is going to find you. Market yourself. Obviously, keeping notes and keeping track of deadlines. You know, you have a ton. Students have a ton of resources available. There's certainly a number of resources online. There's your coach, there's your parents, of course. You know, put them to their best use and know what you have to offer. Another myth that kind of the flip side of that, or another myth or another issue that student athletes will run into is they'll be the opposite. They'll be too proactive or too geared up toward you know, sending out 1,000 emails to coaches. That's all well and good, but there's a few things that kind of, you know, thin things out as far as a good representation of who they are. In every email they write or every phone call that they have with a coach, what'll happen then is they're too aggressive. They're reading from a script. They're not being authentic. They're not being themselves. And you'll note that I mentioned email and phone calls. Really, that's the only two ways that coaches even want you to be corresponding with them, reaching out to them. When it is the time, of course, as juniors and seniors, when you in touch with them. The world we live in today, you know, obviously we're here on a live stream, but with Twitter, right, Facebook, Instagram, there's a whole host of ways for students to reach out to coaches. And oftentimes, quite honestly, after they get, you know, a handful of tweets or direct messages or Facebook posts from a student athlete, without even really judging the young man or the young lady, they'll kind of just put their file aside because it's kind of redundant and kind of pushing you a little bit. So the flip side for that second one is to kind of know your boundaries, know your limits, figure on schools that fit you, not only for the sport that you're playing, but also, you know, what you want to study. Don't fall into the trap like a lot of students do. Just because you see a team play on Saturday or, you know, basketball, football, baseball, doesn't matter, that you're going to go to that school and take that course of action, you know, that curriculum that you're looking forward to, because you never know, that school may not be the best fit for you in that, you know, in that realm, I guess, so to speak. So checking out academic and athletic and kind of going through the motions to make sure that, again, you're being you, what you're going to be wanting to do for the next 4 years, both academically and athletically. And really the third thing, too, is, you know, a lot of students, and it'll also kind of it kind of hedges itself into kind of the conversation of what the parents can understand and what they can learn as well, is, you know, the question about scholarships, which actually I know you're on that. Scholarships, just like they are for students not going to play sports, very hard to come by. For athletes in particular, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's something like 6 or 7% of high school athletes are actually going to play in college to some degree. And of that small fraction of an amount, only 2 or 3% are going to get a Division I scholarship.
Wow.
So, again, cannot stress enough, and that's why our business really is put in play, where, again, can't stress enough, you're not only going to college to play a sport, but it's ultimately a four-year commitment to grow, to learn, to do your best, be your best, and the student athlete, so athletically, academically, and socially, be the best version of themselves. Those scholarships are really tough to come by. There's a misnomer there, too, that every time a student athlete gets a scholarship, he or she is getting a full ride, so to speak. That's the term that everybody likes to throw around. And that's not really the norm. That's not really the case. Oftentimes, yes, those full rides are the ones that are promoted and talked about on ESPN and on a few of these websites that talk about recruiting. Again, we're right in the thick of things as it is with football. But, you know, oftentimes colleges will first offer a student a partial scholarship. Maybe a two-year, maybe some other variant, maybe a level of you have to keep your academics at X. So just another one of those things that trips students up, student-athletes, and again, even trips up some of their parents as well.
Those are some great tips. So, Chad, thanks for sharing those. And I want to say the one that really, two things I wanted to kind of reiterate, I guess, is the first one is take an initiative. And I think a lot of students, it's kind of like, well, I'm the star player here, so you should be chasing me.
Oh, yeah. Well, star players, and it's funny when you start to hash out the numbers of students that go to D1 or D2 or D3, whatever it is, playing college. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, look to those numbers in the pros. But when you think about it, the reality is of the, again, to use football as the example, of the college teams that are out there that are looking for that one best player out of every town.
Right.
You know, you're big fish in a small pond, and in the crux of everything, you know, that, not to think it's forgotten, but it does need to be reminded, and just to have students, again, gearing up to work their hardest on the field or on the ice or on the court, but also in the classroom as well. Be well-rounded, and it'll work for the 4 years of college, wherever you end up.
Right, and that's the other thing I was going to say, too, is that it's both. It's not just I'm preparing for the sports side of it, but I'm also a student athlete, you know, student as well. So I love that you touched on that. So the next question I have, and I know a lot of students, I've gotten this question a lot, so I wanted to ask you, is in terms of time management, how does a student athlete juggle the sports and the practices and the games with their academics?
It's a lot of organization. It's a lot of tools and tricks and tactics. Obviously, that can be put into play, you know, for the student athletes that are watching. You know, they can work on different things now. As you get to college and as you get to that level of academics and athletics, organization is key. Probably a close second to that, because it kind of fits in with that organization, is being proactive, again, to kind of supplement off that last point, but to know when to ask questions. Know when you may be sliding behind. Know when you may have to, again, proactively and aggressively, go ask for help. Especially students in freshmen in college, as I'm sure you know, those lecture halls that may be up 70, 80 plus students, oftentimes if grades are so-so, you may think it's okay to kind of skirt by. And for some students, that may just fit right into their wheelhouse, and that might be fine. But for a student athlete who has to meet NCAA standards, and in many cases, separate of that, their own team standards, you have to, if there's something that's stuck for whatever reason, you got to ask the question, you got to make it known, whether it's with that teacher, or the TA, teacher assistant, your coach, the teams also, as far as organization, as well as time management. It is very much like a full-time job, so you'll find yourself getting into a routine, certainly, almost inevitably. You really won't have a choice. You'll have to get into a routine in order to make it work. But a lot of the schools, especially a lot of these bigger programs, they're fortunate to set up study halls, set up group meetings where the students, you know, guys and girls can break off into their smaller groups if they have shared classes. There's a lot of group work. They can work with each other. Various teams will have teaching advisors or academic advisors so they can check in with them. Again, ultimately, it really just does come down to organization, time management, and, you know, knowing that you got to speak up when the time is right. The first example I gave, certainly, to when you don't understand something, that's fine. You're not going to get everything. That's not the point of college. But also knowing, okay, I have a game next week in, I don't know, Des Moines, Iowa, so I have to tell my teacher, look, I'm going to be gone for the next 3 days. What homework assignments do I need? If you're going to miss a test or a quiz or a paper, work with them to rearrange when that deadline may be or when that test is. And yes, that may mean taking it a couple days early before the rest of this class starts. And that's okay. That's part of the program. That's part of what you're there for. Again, to use a word of routine, that's kind of the mode you have to think in. Think very much like a job. And just be organized and ask when the time is right.
And I like that. Those are some great resources. You know, is talking with the professors, and it goes back to that where we just talked about is taking initiative. And like you said, asking if you know you have a game out of state or even in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So here's my next question. So this is for the parents. So for the parents of student athletes, what is something that they're not aware of but they need to know?
Probably a few different things. I think probably they may have a big question as far as Division I versus Division II versus Division III. And in some cases, they may talk about the NAIA, all different divisions, which you'll hear talked about. Of course, on TV, again, on those Saturdays, folks will see a lot of the NCAA Division I teams. Those are typically your large public universities. As you break down the groups, they become smaller colleges, NAIA in particular, smaller private colleges. What's interesting that a lot of students will know and understand, and I oftentimes feel, unfortunately, that a lot of parents kind of lean on their kids, especially if they feel, you know, that their son or their daughter has worked so hard to get to this point to where, you know, potentially they've earned it. And certainly, you know, they have. They've done their due diligence. They've worked for 4 years in high school. They don't want to see them end up at a Division II school. They want to force the issue, be D1, D1, D1. And what I end up having a lot of conversations with parents is first and foremost, it's about them. If your daughter or your son can end up at a Division II school, a smaller school, thereby, you know, smaller classrooms, and a better opportunity for more of an individualized care in their learning. You know, from a sports level, Division II, Division III, it's not to say necessarily that competition is weak. Very good sports. They're going to be able to play a game that they love. And it's ultimately a matter of fit. That's probably the biggest one. And then the other one, and honestly, actually, I could probably talk to you for a couple hours on this, but the other big one really is you know, for parents to be proactive in a sense. And what I mean by that is just having an understanding of a couple different things. One, knowing that when your student's a high school freshman, that he or she can actually start that process then for college prep. Really, it's at that time, and you as a parent can kind of lead them through early enough to where, you know, there's no pressure, there's no stress by the time they're juniors. You kind of lead them through the ropes, giving them an understanding, of really we're proud of you no matter where you end up. Here's what, you know, we see as your options, kind of giving them the keys, which then they take and they open the door to kind of work with as they go. Starting early, allowing the students to go through any of the NCAA resources, NCAA guides, going through early enough to work on the eligibility center so that they're able to track their progress through their high school years, making sure that their GPA and all their core classes are taken. And just, you know, knowing that at the very end of it, while you can prepare and work on whatever, you know, you give them, again, give them the keys, so to speak, to the door. At the end of it all, really, it's their decision. And no matter what you can do, just know that hopefully they're finding a school that's a good fit for them. And as I've said before, works for them academically, athletically, and socially, not only for their 4 years, but then what's going to serve them beyond.
And those are great pieces of advice, and thanks for sharing that. So I want to get into now, first of all, I just want to announce that Chad and I, we talked before this interview tonight. And so actually, I'm kind of going to be bringing Chad on. And so for those of you that are interested in having your son or daughter, if they are a student athlete or interested in getting that extra assistance, Chad is available. So now I'm going to ask Chad to share what services, types of services that you offer, who's the best customer or student for those services, and then what else students need to know and parents in regards to that.
Awesome. Well, we're in Connecticut, and what we are is both what we call a true hybrid of the athletic recruiting guidance side of things and the admission college prep side of things. And why that's interesting is because traditionally, an athletic recruiting site, you know, and there's a handful of them online, which are tremendous resources. Student athletes can go on there and network, finding schools that are good fit athletically, and you know, they're able to kind of see what's out there from a sports perspective. What would happen in many of those cases is if they need some sort of tutoring, some sort of guidance as far as, again, a best fit or test prep, SATs, ACTs, whatever the case may be, you know, in essence, they're turned around to go work with their English teachers or their guidance counselors. On the flip side of that, traditionally, education consulting, as a term, is really not that old as we know it, and yeah. Again, works with students really to find that best fit, that coined term, where they're most comfortable, where they can succeed, not only in their 4 years, but what comes after. And so what we're able to do is meld the two of those together, and it's very fluid, very in between both. So one consultant, even if it's myself, will work with one student. Either, you know, we started with students from freshmen all the way to the graduation of high school. We worked with students just from their senior years on. And I hate to call it one-stop shopping, but in many cases, that's what it ends up being. Yeah. Where we could have a student that has questions about a camp that he's interested in, for football, again, as an example, a coach that we're going to set him up with, have a discussion with, or set up to coordinate a tour or an official visit, and at the same time be working with them to say, okay, here's the questions you had on your essay, here's how we're going to approach your SATs prep for this week, here's how, you know, you're going to be tutored on X, Y, and Z in the next coming days. So it's very much really the athletic and academic true hybrid, again, building true student athletes, and it works. Colleges that we've been in touch with, they know that when they're getting someone who comes through the LAC cycle, so to speak, that they're obviously hardworking, good students who also can play the game as well. And so it's been tremendous for the students, again, in Connecticut, but we'll work with 25 to 35% of the students are here in Connecticut, leaving the rest, these students all over the United States and the world. A lot of our work goes through live streams just like this, Skype, FaceTime, the technology that we have today makes that so much easier. and we're there to advocate for our students every step of the way, as much as they need us or as little as they need us, to just consult and give advice along the way if that's what they need.
I like that. You know, I want to mention two things that I like. Number one, I like that you start so early, and you have to, as we talked about. So as you mentioned, students as early as freshmen, you know, and I'm encouraging those of you that are watching and listening, is if your son or daughter, even if they're in the seventh or eighth grade, you know, to reach out to Chad and get the ball rolling just to see what do you need, what's coming up, because you don't want to wait until your senior year and then you're scrambling, you're panicked, you have anxiety because now you're racing against the clock.
Absolutely.
So that's what I love. And then number two, because I met Chad, well, we talked by phone a little while back, and I have never heard of this before. So I love that it's the hybrid between the college prep side and, of course, working with student athletes. So those of you that are listening, those of you that are watching, definitely get in contact with Chad. And speaking of Chad, what's the best way or ways to contact you?
Handful of ways. Again, the business is Leonard Andrew Consulting. Online at leonardandrew.com, LEONARDandrew.com. For me, find me on Twitter, I just blanked on my Twitter name, CDAgent84, and on Facebook, although not too many students these days of this age in this realm are on Facebook, at Leonard Andrew, and then, of course, on Instagram as well, Leonard Andrew. You can email me, that's probably quickest and easiest, Chad@leonardandrew.com, and absolutely any questions, comments, concerns, really from, as you just said, Ashley, from eighth grade on up, whether it's from the student athletes themselves or their parents, fire away. I just it's big for me to make these connections with students and make sure that they're really in places where they're comfortable and they can be successful both on the field and off.
You know, and that's huge. And, you know, first of all, I have to say that Chad is highly recommended. So that's my own personal recommendation for those of you that are watching. You're welcome. But also is for, you know, parents that are listening and that are watching, you know, it's one thing to go by yourself. Because, you know, when you were going to college, and Chad can attest to this, it was different. You know, 20, 30 years ago, the process was different. How things were done were different. Mm-hmm. And so you need an expert that has already done the work. They're on top of the trends. They know what's going on, their experience. You need that person. That way you're not spending hundreds of hours on your own and trying to figure out things and wasting time. So, and also, if you just want to reach out to me as well, I have no problem with forwarding your information over to Chad. So with that being said, Chad, thank you so much. I've learned a lot myself. So thanks again for sharing. And again, parents that are watching, get in contact with Chad like ASAP.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Ashley.
You're welcome.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast episode. To learn more about how you can use your talents and achievements to find and win scholarships in less time, visit my website, which is www.collegeprepready.com. Also, follow me on Facebook at Prep4College. That's Prep4College. Now take care, and I look forward to bringing you more scholarship search tools, tips, and strategies in our next podcast episode. Goodbye.